I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs 14. I'd like to read verses 30 to 32. And I've entitled this message, Having Hope in His Death. Proverbs 14, verses 30 to 32. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Let's pray together. Father, we ask you this morning, would you bless the word to our hearts? Lord, we need you. Help us to worship. Help us to hear. Help us to see. For Christ's sake. Amen. We know that when a man, a woman, or a child, every child, born in Adam, is born in this world, we know that child is born spiritually dead. We know that. Psalm 53. I was looking at this. How many of these scriptures? Psalm 53, verses 1 to 3. This is a fact. Psalm 53, 1 to 3. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Of course, there is, it shows us in italics. It says, no. God. No God. Corrupt are they. Done abominable iniquity. There's none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. That settles this. That settles the issue. There's none that thinks right, does right, speaks right. There's none. There's none that doeth good. That means that a man is absolutely, totally depraved. Now, I'm going to read a scripture to you, Isaiah 1, 5 and 6. And we've read this before. But let me read this, Isaiah 1, 5 and 6. It says, why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head sick, whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now, let me tell you, when we say a man is totally depraved, this is what that means. Now, it doesn't mean that all men act as badly as they could. It's only by the restraining grace of God they don't. I mean, we've got instances in this world we know. There's people that are just madmen. They're savages. Unrestrained, it appears as though. It's just by the grace of God that men are not all like that. Hitlers and Saddam Hussein's, people like that, just butchers. It doesn't mean that all men. A lot of times men will justify themselves. Well, I'm not as bad as, or I'm not as bad, you know. I've never done it. When we say that a man is totally depraved, that means that there's no part of the being of that person, whether you call it his intellect or his desires or whatever you call it, there's no part of his being that is not touched, polluted by sin. And therefore, there's nothing in a man that can please God in himself. That's what it means. Nothing pleases God. From the sole of his foot, crown of his head, there's nothing there that God is satisfied with in a fallen creature. Only as a man or a woman, by the grace of God, has been considered, found, placed, chosen, sanctified, set apart in Christ, that God's satisfied. And only for his sake, his righteousness imputed. Only that's it. Man is a mess. His heart, the very seat of his being, is governed by envy, jealousy. And let me tell you what he's envious of. He wants God's honor. That's what he wants. He wants God's glory. Now there is a zeal. There is a jealousy. There is an envy that is good. It's good. Psalm 69:9 says, "For the zeal of thine house." This is Lord Jesus speaking. "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." That zeal, that envy, that jealousy is totally for God's honor. God's will. In the redemption of his people and in the honoring of the Lord Jesus Christ. The zeal of thine house, thy people, your elect, your church, the bride of Christ, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Psalm 119:139, "My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies hath forgotten thine words." But I'll tell you something. That envy, that jealousy, that desire is only found within him who is God. God, man. But envy, jealousy, that is found in an unconverted heart. The scripture says in Proverbs 14:30, the latter part of that, and I'll start with that last part of that first verse. It says, "But envy, the rottenness of the bones." That envy, it rules everything. There is a nature within that fallen creature, that old man. And this is the heart of it right here. I want God's honor. I want his honor. The scripture sets forth, envy is the rottenness of the bones. Now bones here. I know we read the bones and we think of the skeleton, and that's true. But this word right here means the entire man, the pillars of mankind, or his substance. Envy is the rottenness of the whole man. The destruction. Psalm 6:2, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. There's a man that knows something about himself. This is the way I am. So the very rottenness of the unregenerate, the very rottenness of him, the very heart of him, is envy. You say, what is it about the unregenerate? He's envious. Envious. Well, what is envy? What is this depraved envy? Envy is a desire to deprive another of that which is rightfully his. That's envy. Envy. First time I looked it up, I thought, where is the first time that envy is mentioned in the Scriptures? Genesis 26. Genesis 26, verses 12 to 15. First time that envy was ever mentioned in the Scriptures. I'll read this to you. Genesis 26, 12 to 15. The Scripture says, "And then Isaac sowed in that land and received the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him." God had blessed him. God had prospered him. God had abounded toward him, gave him stuff. And they wanted it. They desired something that was rightfully his. But the ultimate envy, spiritually, found within the carnal heart, I said, is God's honor. That's what a man wants. If you want to know, what is the real problem? What is the issue? It's God's honor. Isaiah 14. Here again, we've read this before. I'm telling you, I've told you this before. I'm not telling you anything new. Aren't you glad? Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. Now here's where envy comes from. Remember when the Lord told some of those Pharisees, He said, "You are of your father, the devil. The way you think is the way he thinks. He was a liar. He was a murderer from the beginning." And this is the very heart of envy. When you desire something that rightfully belongs to somebody else, this is what you say in your heart. I'll kill you to get it. I'll kill you. Listen to Satan. Isaiah 14:12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart..." It's going to take God to tell us what somebody says in their heart. Somebody say, "I didn't say that." That's just like when Sarah laughed. Remember that? She laughed within herself. The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" She said, "I didn't laugh." He said, "Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." If you want to know where man came up with this idea of free will. And when I said free will, you remember what I'm saying now. It's bound by nothing. It's free. No bounds. Nothing binding. Free will. That's a lie. We are bound, the Scripture says, in trespasses and sins. You take a... You remember that... You know, when I was in elementary school, I just... You know, you've seen this little... I guess they still have it. You know, he's supposed to eat a lot of grains, and then he's... You know, and he put meat way up here. I mean, I'm thinking, I don't know where they got that place. Meat. But that little triangular food chain thing. You take that triangle, and at the very pinnacle, if you want it spiritually, if you want to know where the height of depravity, you want to know the soul, man's will, free will, there's the very pinnacle, the ultimate pinnacle of sin and rebellion against God. Satan says, I will exalt myself above the heaven, above the stars of God. I will. And when a man says that he has the last say, this is what he's saying. I call the shots. I make the decisions. Why was Christ delivered by the Jews to Pilate? Now you think about it. We read these scriptures and we see how they hated the Lord. They hated Him. Hated Him. Why? Matthew 27:18 says, for He knew that for envy they had delivered Him. I'm not going to have that man to rule over me. I'm my own man. I call my own shots. I do as I will. And against God's people, Acts 7:9 says, and the patriarchs, moved with envy, and sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. The patriarchs. Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Jacob wrestled with God. You remember that? He wrestled with the man and the Lord, he was the Lord, and the Lord told him, he said, let me go. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go. Unless you bless me, I'm not going to let you go. By the grace of God, God allowed him to hold on. He held on because God had him. Jacob, the Lord told him, he said, you're not going to be called Jacob anymore. Supplanter, trickster, heel grabber. Not anymore. You're going to be called Israel. A prince with God. Israel. A prince with God. Israel. Jacob. Now called Israel. His sons. The patriarchs. The 12 tribes, it was Jacob's, Israel's sons, plus Joseph's two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. That we'll talk about that later. Those, the patriarchs, we talk about the patriarchs. Those that God Almighty set aside, the sons of Israel, Jacob. Son, the 12 tribes of Israel. That blessed man that God set apart, the 12 tribes, the patriarchs, Reuben, Simeon, Dan, Gad, patriarchs. It says, and the patriarchs, the brothers of Joseph, they moved with envy and they sold Joseph into Egypt. And God was with him. Those men, by the grace of God, that God raised up and made them to be the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what's in a man's heart. Envy is that rottenness, that decaying of that carnal man. Envy. Envy. A man desiring the honor of God in salvation and hating that which rightfully belongs to God. All the souls are mine. They're mine. Doesn't the potter have the right to do what he will with his own? Or God's envy. But the Scripture sets forth, and here's the first part of that 30th verse, a sound heart, a renewed heart, is the life of the flesh. Flesh there means the person. The person, mankind. But in the sense of being now healthy, spiritually healthy. A sound heart. Here's a man dug from the same pit as one that was consumed with envy and jealousy. And that old nature, that envy and jealousy, is still there. Still there. Nothing's changed. That's what we struggle with right there. If you want to know where the fighting's going on, you know we talk about trying to pray and trying to seek and trying to do right, trying to... Here's what it is. There's an old nature within us that wants God's honor. It wants to talk about everything else but that which is right and honorable to Him. Here's a man that is settled now. A sound heart. Settled with his lot in life. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Life, sound heart. Now let me ask you this. I've got three quick things I want to ask you. And then we'll close. What's the source of that life? A sound heart, a new heart, that's the life. That's the life. That's the life of a man. Of a renewed man. A sound heart. What's the source of it? You know what it is. Ezekiel 36:26, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. I'm going to write my laws on your heart. You're my people. I'm your God. A new heart. A believer has got a new man within him. That's the source of it. According to God's infinite mercy and grace, God Almighty gives life to those that He's chosen to give life to. I will give them, all of His people, God-fearing, God-respecting heart is imparted. And that old man that ruled and reigned, dethroned. I said before, the effects of them still there. And you know it. You know it. If we say we sin not, we make God a liar. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there's a new man there. Created after God in righteousness and true holiness. And here's a man that loves God's honor. He loves God's glory. And he does not envy God's majesty. He does not. That which is born of God doesn't sin. Sinneth not. He loves that which God loves. He loves His Son. Not as He desires to. Not as He shall. But He does. Secondly, what's the fruit of that new life? What's the source of it? God. Gave him a new heart. What's the fruit of it? Scripture says, verse 31 here, it's mercy on the poor. That's the fruit of it. Verse 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. He that oppresseth, he that defrauds, he that violates, deceives the poor, the weak, the needy, reproacheth his maker. He curses God. Now there's a couple of different things on that. He that oppresseth the poor. I know this. It means either deception or lying that is against God's saints. He that oppresseth the poor. Those that are poor in spirit. He that oppresseth the poor. Those that God has made to see their need, their hope in Christ. Those that oppress God's people, they curse God. Those that hate men and women that stand for the honor, glory of Almighty God in the preaching of the gospel. God's people love this message. They love it. They know it's of the Lord. God Almighty has set forth. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. Not ashamed of this gospel. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Is it a big deal that people hate and despise and talk about and oppress the poor? God's people? God's poor? Yes, they curse God. They say in their heart, God's choice makes no difference. God's honor makes no difference. Or, secondly, it could mean this, and it says, He that oppresseth the poor. It means the lying tongue of false prophets that make merchandise of men's souls. 2 Peter 2:1, there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. I went back this morning. I read that scripture again, and I wanted to go back that part that jumped out. I know, first of all, just like there was false prophets in the Old Testament, all through history, there's always been liars. Liars against God. But we can rest assured, there's going to be liars, false teachers, who privily, in a subtle way, not openly, they kind of start off slow. That's the way deception is, you know. It's not right in your face. It's slow. And they bring in damnable heresies. Denying, disavowing, rejecting, contradicting the Lord that bought them. Now let me tell you what I know it doesn't mean. I know it does not mean that Almighty God, in the blessed person of His Son, paid by His blood the debt of every person without exception. I know that. I know I've told you before, if there's a scripture and it appears as though it says something, you put something on a fence post that you know is so. When the Lord said, I laid down my life for the sheep, who did He lay down His life for? The sheep. Did He lay down His life for everybody? No. No. I know that there were some Pharisees, and He told them in the next few verses, He said, you're not my sheep. My sheep, hear my voice. They follow me. You're not my sheep. I can tell you that all that the Father has given the Son shall come to the Son. And He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish. You know why they're never going to perish? Because He was made sin for them, and He put away their guilt. And He paid their debt. Who's going to be found in heaven? All that the Father chose and the Son redeemed, the Spirit of God shall surely call them out. So I can tell you this. I know this. When it says it bought them, I know it does not have anything to do, because I can contradict that thought with Scripture. I know it doesn't mean that. If it meant that, then there is a contradiction. And there's no contradiction. There's no controversy in God's Word. I know it doesn't mean that. Well, then what does it mean? If it doesn't mean that, then tell me what it does mean. Let me show you. Turn to Deuteronomy 32 and I'll show you. This Scripture confirms this. Deuteronomy 32, verse 5 and 6. This word, bought. right here. You can look it up. And I tell anybody, please, just because I say something, check it out. This word bought, right here, is concerning God's providential power and right over all men because He is the Creator. That's what the word bought means. I'll show you right here. Deuteronomy 32, verses 5 and 6. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot, their blot, is not the spot of His children. They are perverse and a crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath bought thee? And the next line explains what He just said. Hath He not made thee and established thee? Bought, right here, means that God has the right to do what He will, as He will, with whom He will. Now back in 2 Peter. There will be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that has the right to do what He will. They'll deny Him. They'll deny that God is God. That's what it is. He that oppresseth, he that lies to the poor, curses God. And these shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. But he that honoreth Him, he that honoreth Him, he that honors the Lord, blesses the Lord, praises the Lord, he that honoreth Him hath mercy on the poor. In direct contrast to those that oppress the poor, God's people love God Almighty and His right to do as He will. He's right. He's honorable. And then lastly, the reward of the life that was spoken in verse 30. Sound heart is the life of the flesh. The source of it, God Almighty. The fruit of it, God's people don't oppress the poor. They want to be honest with men. And then the reward of that life. Verse 32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. There's no greater, I don't think that there's a greater point in a believer's life. There's not a greater point in a believer's life when the exhibition of the sufficiency of God's grace is manifested. There's not a greater point in the exhibition of God's grace to a believer in that believer's life as when that person comes to die. When he comes to die, that's where you're going to find out what a man believes. The Scripture sets forth that Almighty God has declared, He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you. Jacob, soon, Lord willing, we'll look in going through Hebrews. The Scriptures speaks of Joseph, made mention of his bones. He trusted Almighty God. He trusted his soul to the Lord. But there was of all the things that were said, I don't want to go too far with this because I'm going to preach on this. But of all the things that were said of Joseph and his life, how God kept him, preserved him, directed him, the thing in Hebrews 11 that it mentioned concerning his faith was he told him, he said, don't leave my bones here in Egypt. He trusted He trusted Almighty God in dying. He trusted his soul to him. Can I trust the body that's going to be put in that ground? Somebody said, well, I didn't think too much about it. He believed that Almighty God was going to raise that body out of the grave. He trusted the Lord in dying. The Scripture sets forth, verse 32, the righteous hath hope in his own personal death. But I'll tell you this, there's a greater meaning here too. God's people trust in the Lord's death. I believe that Almighty God truly, and it's all my hope, I truly believe when He said He was made a curse to deliver me from the curse of the law, He was made a curse, Galatians 3:13. That He put away, truly did. You truly believe that? Do you truly believe what Almighty God set forth? It's finished. The work is done. The work that He's given me to do, it's finished. I trust Him. When He died, I believe that I died in Him. When He cried out with a loud voice, Father, into Thy hands I deliver my spirit. I believe that Almighty God has saved me by His grace, kept me by His power. God's people trust in His death. The wicked cast out. But for God's people, I've got hope in Him. Lord, bless these words to my heart. For Christ's sake, amen.